Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. How are you?
I'm fine, and how have you been?
I've been great. It's nice. It's fall. What a great fall weekend.
Oh, I know it. And have you been out and about doing anything fun?
Oh, fall is the time for fairs and festivals and fun, and went over to Libby for the Harvest Festival there and a picnic in Thompson Falls and couple short walks. It's great.
I know it. And fall is still outdoor time for fishing, mushrooming, all kinds of fun outdoor hiking events. So I've been getting out and enjoying the last bit of good weather. Well, hopefully not the last bit of good weather, no. But the ongoing good weather.
The only thing nicer for fall than September is October.
That is true. October is a good month here in Sandpoint. Let's do talk about the weather just for a moment, and then we'll introduce our morning show guests. For those of you who are wanting to get out and about this week, I would suggest that you do that today and tomorrow, because today we have sunny and a high of 69, beautiful, beautiful fall weather, or nearly fall weather, a low of 40, and then tomorrow, very similar, mostly sunny and a high of 69. Wednesday night, a few clouds are gathering, low of 42, and then for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it looks like we've got a chance of rain and cloudier weather. Highs around 60 with lows in the 40s, and then again, it looks like we may see some partly cloudy or slightly sunny on Sunday. So get out there today and tomorrow, and then again on Sunday. Phil, who's joining us this morning?
Well, this morning we have a great show in store. We've got three folks from Project 7B, and we'll go ahead and introduce them. First up, we have Daniel Schleiferman, the chairperson of Project 7B, and steering committee members Susan Drumheller and Carol Curtis. Daniel, why don't you start? Say good morning so we can all hear your voices.
Good morning.
That's Daniel. And Susan?
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Great.
And Carol Curtis.
Yeah. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So let's launch into it. For those who are listening but may not be familiar, we've had some folks on from 7B in the past, but it's been quite a while. Tell us a little bit, give us an overview of Project 7B, Daniel.
Sure. Project 7B was formed in 2016 by a concerned group of Bonner County residents. And the concern was changes to the Bonner County land use planning policies. So at that time, we were formed with a twofold mission, to educate citizens about, encourage citizen involvement in, and convene constructive public dialogue around land use planning in Bonner County. And we wanted to support land use planning based on locally shared values and aspirations. Our other mission was to facilitate land use planning and use collaborative efforts to do so.
Hmm. And so does that mean you're coming from a particular perspective? Explain how you integrate those things.
Right. We are not coming from any political background. We don't advocate for any specific outcomes or any policies or regulatory changes. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is get people involved, encourage people's participation in local government and county government.
Hmm. And just what geographic area do y'all cover, Susan?
Basically Bonner County, and all the communities within Bonner County.
All right. So mm-hmm. It's a pretty big area you're considering.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I guess.
Well, I mean, county-wise, yeah, it's pretty big.
Bigger than some counties, smaller than others.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, land-wise, there's a lot of interesting things going on in the county, which we might want to get into a little bit of what the different kinds of land use planning are you're talking about, or different entry portals.
It really covers a lot of different issues. We've tried to encourage people to get involved in comprehensive land use planning, either within the cities. There's been a couple cities that have been updating their comprehensive plans, and also the county is doing that on a sub area plan basis. So they've created neighborhood community groups to help guide community based comprehensive plan changes. And the comprehensive land use plan is basically the blueprint that sort of guides land use decisions in the county. It's kind of the big picture umbrella policies, overarching policies. And then what happens after that is they dial down and get into the zoning regulations and code changes and things like that. And it was some of the changes they were making in the codes, you know, a couple years ago within the county that we felt like people weren't really aware of, and so and that they weren't necessarily hearing from people. So often people just respond to land use issues when it's something in their backyard that they're concerned with. And some of these bigger issues are important, too, because they guide the bigger decisions that are being made and just the direction the county's going. And because the county is growing really fast now, and we went through a lull a few years ago, but now, I mean, Carol can probably speak to this. I think it's important that people just are aware of what's going on.
All right. Well, based on that statement, you all came to this Project 7B from slightly different backgrounds. Why don't you give us just a brief history of why this, about yourselves, and why this group was important for you to join? Go ahead, Susan.
Well, I was working for Idaho Conservation League at the time, and that was sort of outside the scope of the Conservation League's work, But I was aware of things that were, you know, going on in the county and the cities because I was just super plugged in. So that's kind of how I got into it. And I just felt like more people needed to be involved and aware. And also, prior to working for Idaho Conservation League, I worked as a reporter and a journalist for 15 years for the Spokesman Review. And I covered City Hall and Coeur d'Alene and up here. And I covered a lot of land use issues that I felt like had, you know, could have potentially big impacts on the way that the county grows and develops. And so I just feel like people need to be more engaged.
Carol, Curtis.
Yes, I'm a realtor in town. I work at Century 21 Riverstone, and I've done that since 2006. And so my involvement centered around education. I felt, again, echoing what Susan and Daniel have said, these are kind of wonky topics. They're not things that are going to compel you to go to meetings if you read a little blurb in the paper. They don't compel me, you know, and I'm very much dependent on the information. And so we really wanted to be a conduit to this information and use maybe other mediums that were maybe not being used to just help people understand, okay, if this, then that, you know, not in a fear-based thing or anything like that, but just simply trying to just get the information out so people could translate and see if it did impact their backyard, as Susan mentioned.
Yes.
So I like to just to wrap, I would say that I'm trying to help my fellow realtors in the industry and then the public, people that I have to talk to, because they're coming into town and they're 100% dependent on if they're given accurate information, which is often verbal initially.
I moved here from the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minnesota. I was involved for over 20 years with an economic development advisory board, and we worked on growth, adding businesses to the community through tax increment financing, assisting businesses to grow and bring in high-paying jobs into the community. I was also involved with a Metropolitan Parks and Open Space Commission, whereby we're in charge of acquiring land, looking at future planning and where development would occur, setting aside land for recreation opportunities.
So land use planning can get very wonkish pretty quick, and obviously it seems so important to all of us. And hearing the interests, can you sum up for us in a brief, if you would, mission statement, the essential aim or goal for the organization?
Well, I think Daniel kind of explained it earlier. It's to get people more engaged in decisions in our county and our cities that are going to affect our future. You know, how are we going to grow?
And so what I hear there is process, and we don't have to get into the really detailed nuances on radio. That could make for some compelling arguments over the bar, but the process seems really important here, and that's really what you're after, right?
Yeah, it's about an open and involved process.
That's inclusive, it sounds like.
And inclusive.
So tell us how you're going about doing that.
Well, one chief way is via our website, and our website is oriented towards education, as I mentioned earlier. and pointing to how people can be engaged and just how policy is formed. And that is one way. We've also been the catalyst to encourage more collaboration in the county. And one of the ways we're the catalyst for the formation of the Bonner Regional Team, which is a multi-point, the leaders of the community, elected officials have come together to form a team to collaborate to attack issues in the community.
So, and which leaders are those?
So I'll jump in here just to explain that a little bit more. The way we were a catalyst was we brought in an expert facilitator out of the University of Utah to do a study of land use issues. And this was prompted, you know, because our formation around some of the changes that were happening that were creating some controversy and concern within the community. So we're like, let's have somebody come in who can really look at, you know, talk to everybody from all points of view and put together kind of an overarching, synopsis of what's going on. And so she did that, and then she pulled together a workshop. And this was like city officials, county officials, planning department, staff people, folks within the Realtors Association, Panhandle Building and Contractors Association, surveyors, engineers, you know, people from who are involved in land use planning and those kinds of issues, the Chamber of Commerce, I mean, all kinds of folks. And then she held a workshop, and then from there, those people decided they wanted to keep meeting and talking about issues, and affordable housing is a big one they've been talking about. But at that point, once they started meeting, Project 7B stepped back. So we're completely unaffiliated with them. That's been something that's been misunderstood on Facebook, but we have nothing to do with them now. We helped catalyze it through that grant project, and now we're not involved.
And so these workshops are part of explain the interface between these workshops and the Bonner County Regional Team.
What workshops?
The ones you just mentioned,
let me help. Can I jump in?
Okay.
Yeah. So the workshops were a data collection process to get ideas about to form the committee that ultimately became the Bonner Regional Team. So through Danya's expertise, it went out in a neutral survey, and then that information was collected. And so that you're starting from trying to get the opinions of people that are making decisions, and then now we're going to be reaching out to the community and also using Facebook, as Susan mentioned.
Yeah, so but the Bonner Regional Team is a completely separate thing, and we just were a catalyst for that. So that's something that we did to try to get the jurisdictions talking to each other. Now we're working on a completely different project where we're trying to activate the voices of citizens in the community in the rural areas. And that's why we're here today, is we want to promote these listening sessions. But that's completely unrelated to the other project.
The listening sessions so we can unpack a couple of the things we're hearing a little bit further and help the listeners wade through what we're working with. The workshop sounded wonderful. But let's go back. You mentioned the Bonner County Regional Team, and I'm not that familiar with that, and I suspect many of our listeners aren't. So tell us a little bit more about what that is and how that's performing a function here.
If I could just jump in, I really feel like it would be better to have people who are on the Bonner Regional Team talk about the Bonner Regional Team, because we are not involved anymore.
Okay.
That we helped catalyze it. It's basically just a collaborative of city, county officials and NGOs that are working on issues that they discuss.
But what a great outcome for Project 7B to have helped create that entity that will go forward and hopefully be able to work together.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think it's really good for folks who are engaged in these issues in land use planning, in affordable housing or whatever, economic development, to be getting together and trying to come up with solutions to problems that affect everybody in the county.
All right. Well, short and long-term goals, does 7B have them?
Well, as far as short-term goals, as you mentioned, we'll lead up to that. This is a listening session that will be occurring from September 20th through the 23rd, so this week. And that is our chief goal at this point, is to bring that to the public.
And we're going to be hearing all about that in the second half of our morning show. So that's to come, yet to come. And how about long-term goals?
I would just say long-term goals is, you know, we're trying to serve the community in terms of communication. If we're successful, then more people understand how to go to meetings, how to engage, how to follow things, and what, and when something's proposed by an entity, what that means. So that that's really, I mean, the community engagement will be a reflection of the long-term goal, but it takes time because you can't be engaged all the time unless maybe you're paid to do that.
And so the focus seems to be primarily or exclusively on the municipalities, cities, and counties, not involving planning on the other landholders, for instance, the Forest Service or BLM.
That is correct.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, although we you know, we'd like to encourage public engagement in all decisions that affect, you know, quality of life and in the, you know, our county. And so if there's something else going on, we might put it on our Facebook page. That's one way that we get the word out for folks. So we don't necessarily exclusively talk about city, county land use planning. We might post other things on the Facebook page.
And so the Facebook page and the website we've mentioned a couple times. How do people find those? What's the URL and the Facebook name?
It's project7b.org is the website. And I think you can just Facebook Project 7B.
And I'm noticing another website, but I think this will be coming up, correct, related to your workshop, project7b.org, listeningtobonnercounty.org. Is that the new one?
Listening to BonnerCounty.org.
Ah, that'll, and we'll be talking about that shortly. All right. And I've also visited your website, and I've noted a few things on it. There's a land use primer. There's some talk about the workshops. We'll be getting to that. What is a land use primer?
I believe that's just sort of, it's just some basic background information for people who might not really understand how land use planning works, like, you know, what the comp plan is, how zoning codes relate to the comp plan, that sort of thing.
Sure. So maybe a good starting place for people that haven't yet begun to think about planning issues in the county.
Right.
Nice.
It's kind of a, you know, civic sort of thing. I mean, a lot of people don't really get that stuff unless they've been, you know, following it for years.
Sure.
That's
what
right.
What are some of the other resources on the website? It sounds like an interesting place to go.
There's links to the different cities that were willing to have their information posted. So we're, again, just trying to, when you think about sometimes how information is disseminated, you know, they're put on, notices are put on small bulletin boards right outside of the door. Well, if you don't go there, then you're not going to always see that. And so we're just trying to help entities that don't have a lot of staff or time so that the information can get out faster so people can attend or ask questions. Any questions can be directed back to the correct people to answer that.
So it sounds like it's really an information provider, an educator. That's what you're, as you stated already, just trying to get more information out to more people.
Right.
All right. Well, I'd like to take a short song break because I was hoping we'd devote more of our hour to your exciting upcoming projects. So let's do that, and we'll be back to talk about Project 7B's upcoming event. And we will be hearing a fun song, guys.
Who do we have coming
You're
up?
Going to like it, Phil. It's Tom Chapin.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My Town is a Salad Bowl. Oh, Phil, perfect song for our topic. Our town is a salad bowl.
It is. Who's the oil and who's the vinegar, though? And do they mix?
We'll discuss that later, Phil.
Welcome back. This morning on The Morning Show, we're talking with folks from Project 7B. Our guests are Daniel Schleiferman, chairperson, and steering committee members Susan Drumheller and Carol Curtis. Welcome back to the show. And where we left off, we were about to move into some exciting events coming up this week. But let's talk a little bit about the stuff that leads up to the events. I guess there's been a student project going on.
That is correct. And the student project was an outgrowth of a survey taken by stakeholders in 2016. And that led to a connection with the University of Utah. And at this time, September 20th through September 23rd, we have University of Utah students, graduate students and undergraduate students, along with their professor and a teaching assistant. The professor's name is Stephen Goldsmith. And Stephen is the is an associate professor at the University of Utah, affiliated with the College of Architecture and Planning. And it's a semester-long class, and roughly about 13 students are coming to Sandpoint. We are hosting them in Sandpoint, and they will be here to take surveys. Surveys can be taken both online, and survey takers will be encouraging citizens to take the survey in person at various locations around Sandpoint. And this will occur September 20th through the 23rd. The site, if you want to take the survey online, is listeningtobonnercounty.org. If you go onto that site, it will also tell you where you can take the survey in person. Surveys are all taken anonymously, and the purpose of the survey is to encourage all residents of Bonner County to have a voice.
Mm-hmm. Now, during break, the question was asked, why University of Utah? Why not University of Idaho, Susan?
Well, we reached out to the University of Idaho, and there were discussions with a professor who's with a planning program that's based out of Boise, but they just weren't able to do this project. And so at that point, we decided to connect with the University of Utah, and they have a lot of experience doing this sort of thing, and they pretty much have they're pretty much dialed in and know how to do it. The professor does, and he knows how to lead the students through it. So it just seemed like it was going to work out a little bit more smoothly.
So what are the goals of the survey? What are you or the group from Utah hoping to learn from this process?
Well, what we're encouraging citizens to really be vocal about is really what they desire, what's desirable about Bonner County's County. What are their fears about Bonner County in terms of growth, in terms of economics, in terms of recreation, how they feel about the county? And I think that leads into an interpretation of the rural life that they enjoy in Bonner County. And we are made an effort to reach out to both people in the city, in the urban areas and the rural areas, to really get their feedback. And this it's important. The tentacles go far, and that's the way we've structured this program to really reach out.
Mm-hmm. And is there going to be a number of in-person locations? Is there a list of times and places for those on your website or Facebook page?
Yeah, I would like to know that, or at least some or most of them. It would be good to know.
Sure. Do you want me to list them? First one is coming up, it's my understanding, and maybe Daniel can explain this a little bit further, but it's, if you go to these listening sessions, I don't think it's just about taking a survey there. I think they wanted to have some conversations too, right? So I think there is going to be, some exploring of these ideas. And as Daniel mentioned, a lot of people talk about they care about the rural character of the county, but what does that mean? And so I think they want to try to explore that a little bit.
Okay. Sure. And Carol.
Definitely. And what they're also doing is they're looking at they're doing research before they come up and looking at articles in the paper and things that our community is interested in and passionate about, so that they can just ask general questions about what's important to the community. What are the community priorities? What are things that the community is excited about or concerned about, so that they can get an idea of and then kind of synthesize all that. So it's definitely engaging. But we wanted people to know if they couldn't make that session, because sometimes, like, darn, I've got a conflict, or my kids have soccer, that they are not excluded because they can't be sitting in that chair on that particular time in that particular place. I just wanted to also add that, in general, as we went out to the different universities and University of Utah was able to get back to us, they've done this before, which was exciting to us. So it's interactive for us in terms of trying to figure out how do we put this together. I mean, it's been a learning process for us. It's not like we sat down and said, okay, you need to do this, 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 and this.
And they've worked in communities that have similarities to ours?
They've worked in several communities over the semesters of the last few years. They've been in Bluff, Utah, Springdale, Utah, Mobridge, South Dakota. And when these students do come to these towns, I want to stress that they're truly coming to listen to all of the voices. They're honest brokers. They're coming. They do not have an agenda. They don't think they're coming to help. They're truly coming to find out about the complexity of the community. What is the fabric of the community? What creates that community? What do people treasure about that community? And how is that sustained?
So they're the ones, the students are the ones that are hearing what's being said at the meetings and collecting this data. And ultimately, what will happen with the information?
That topic, I've looked in the past to see what the studies are and what have come out of the studies. And it's mm-hmm. quite interesting because all of these communities have different things that have that define them. And Bluff was an interesting community because what it led to on that community was incorporating it, a town into a city.
And what's unique about Bluff? I think I remember, but remind me. Is it
Bluff near? It was a lot of these Utahs, I think Bluff, there was they were concerned about their dark sky and continuing with that, having the night sky there. Springdale, Utah, they're concerned. They were a gateway to Zion National Park, and they had over 4 million visitors coming a year to a town of 500 people.
My, that's worse than our ski season, I think.
So while tourism was important, they wanted to maintain some of the niceties of that community. Mm-hmm. And these students, we don't know where this will lead, what this will lead to. We are assured that we will have a illustrated report, and you can certainly see the one on Bluff is on our website or on the listening to bonnercounty.org website. And they will come, these students, several of the students will come back at the end of the semester and report to us their findings. So this document that will be prepared will be available to all citizens of Bonner County.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are the actual surveys, the anonymous surveys, available or not?
Yeah, they're online right now, right, Daniel?
No. The surveys are available for people to take, but the survey findings, what they will find is that there's a consensus in some areas, and it's something to build upon.
We won't be able to read actual completed surveys. That
was
my question.
Right.
Okay.
They'll do some synopsis. So the hope is then that the final output, the product, can be used both by decision makers as well as the public to help them inform better decisions. Is that?
That is correct. Okay. It'll be used as a tool.
Okay, good.
And what happens to Project 7B after that's been submitted and disseminated? What is Project B's involvement after that? Do you step away from that or do you continue to?
I think at that point, I believe the study will give us some signals and some points to where you all might also go.
Yeah, so it might help you as well.
I think our role will be helping to disseminate it so that everybody knows it's available for them to look at and read.
Mm-hmm. And I was just going to add that I imagine that there may be voices out there that just aren't being heard because sometimes people just don't want to be screaming and shouting and doing things like that. So they really might attend the meeting where it's a smaller venue where they can express their love for something or access to trails or to the water or concerns about whatever they have concerns about. And then that will be hopefully lifted up to people that are making decisions.
That is, Carol, that is such a great mm-hmm. point because it can be difficult to share something you're passionate about or feel strongly about at a public meeting. It exposes us to mm-hmm. our friends and our neighbors, and they learn more about us when we speak at public meetings. So this format may really bring some interesting comments and input that we might not have seen otherwise.
So we've been talking sort of abstractly about the listening sessions. Is their schedule available?
Yeah, and I'll just go through a few of the meetings that are coming up soon. On Thursday from 5 to 6:30, there will be a meeting or a listening session, sorry, not a meeting, a listening session at the Sagal Senior Center on Monarch Road. From 5 to 6:30 p.m. I think the next one is going to be Friday, pretty much all day, 10 to 5 p.m., you can go to the lobby of the East Bonner County Library on Cedar Street, Cedar and Division in Sandpoint, and talk to the students there. Clark Fork also is going to have students there Friday and Saturday. Oh, actually, the libraries, both libraries, are both Friday and Saturday from 10 to 5 p.m., both in Sandpoint and in Clark Fork, at the Sandpoint-Clark Fork mm-hmm. Libraries.
Oh, good. Easy to get to.
Yeah. And then there's a listening session in Blanchard on Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. And then the students will also, I believe, be at the Farmers Market on Saturday morning and at the Preparedness Expo out at the fairgrounds. What else, Daniel? What am I missing?
Walmart.
We may be at Walmart as well, and still waiting to hear on a couple of venues. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to go to the venues, because then there is some engagement with a student versus taking the online survey where they can type in quite a bit. But also in the online survey, there is an opportunity to submit photos of what you like about Bonner County as well. So
tell us a little bit about the format of these listening sessions. Are people coming and talking one-on-one with a student, or is this a small group or large group discussion?
We're breaking the students into teams of two people at each location, and it will be a one-on-one discussion.
All okay. right.
Good.
I'd like to circle back to what you just said about photos, and I think that's so interesting because, once again, during break, we were talking about people and definitions, and one person's definition or idea of rural might be different than another's, and it's so true. For one person, it might just mean, who knows, it might mean a hayfield. Another person, it might mean something else, but a photo can be very illustrative of a person's idea of what they would like. And I think that's mm-hmm. a great idea.
Yeah.
And I just want to remind people to go to the listeningtobonnercounty.org for the full list of venues. And as Daniel said, we're still finalizing a couple of them. So there may be additional ones too.
And will this go on beyond this weekend, or is it concentrated this weekend?
It's going to go on in the sense of the available surveys, but not the dialogues, because the students can only come up the
right.
one
so
weekend.
The listening sessions are all this weekend.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to quickly add that even though, like, Walmart is in Pondere and, you know, Sandpoint Library, we're really trying to reach outlying areas, but people do come in for different activities or work, and so we're trying to put them in places mm-hmm. we can capture the most people, like cross-sections
sure.
of people and their opinions.
Anything in the Priest River area?
Oh, I think we're looking at the library there. Daniel, what do you...
That is correct. So we're, I believe we'll be at the library in Priest Lake from 11 to 4 on Friday.
Priest River or Priest Lake?
Priest Lake.
Oh, okay. So, interesting. Well, I wanted to ask if your volunteer system is complete, or are you still looking for helpers? What is 7B looking for at this moment?
We could certainly use people who are interested in land use planning issues and to be involved in our steering committee. So if somebody's really passionate about it and wants to get involved and help, decide where to go from here after this project, we always need good information for the website and the Facebook page to help people understand, the different things that are happening. So I guess I would encourage people to reach out to us if they find this interesting and think it could be helpful.
And so hopefully the survey helps inform the future potential for what Project 7B can do, it sounds like. That's one thing. But beyond the survey, are there other projects that the future holds for 7B that you're envisioning now?
We have another project down the road that's really in pretty early formation stages as far as taking things to the next level for engagement. So once we're gathering all the opinions and trying to put that together, then there'll be some training, which it's slightly early to try and explain it all because we're trying to figure it out. But as far as how to train people to engage in meetings and to be involved in, I'll say leadership capacity, but it's, again, you know, to be a leader in your community doesn't necessarily make you the mayor. I mean, it can mean that you're a person that's informed, a conduit of information, and so we want people to be able to engage. I mean, once they get excited, okay, now what? You know, you don't want to lose that momentum. So so there are future projects that we're looking for, all around the theme of education and engagement.
Sure. And the students will be returning with their information And that'll be something, and maybe another radio.
Yeah.
Morning. For,
do you have a target
for
date?
The students?
Yeah, it might be kind of fun to come back and say, "Oh, here's what we learned."
It might be really nice to hear, if not for a full hour, at least a neat update on what they learned and how the event went.
Is there a rough time frame for when they'll come back?
It's prior to the end of the semester, so I would imagine somewhere between the 1st of December and the 15th.
Okay.
All right. So we'll have to look at our schedules.
That'll be exciting.
Very good. Well, as we come to an end of the interview, would any of you like to share any thoughts, comments, anecdotes, any final thoughts for us? Or?
Well, I would just encourage citizens to go to listening to bonnercounty.org, the website, take the survey, look to see where you can have a one-on-one with a student and engage and become involved in the process. And again, there is no political agenda here. They're honest brokers coming here. They do not have a specific outcome that they are proposing.
So it's your opportunity to share what you see for the future of Bonner County, and it's anonymous and a good way to add input to your community. Very good.
Sounds very interesting. I'm going to go take one.
I am too. Yeah. Right after the show, Phil.
No, it's Friday or Saturday.
All right.
I want to do it in person.
You want to meet
you?
The students. I do
well,
too.
Of course.
Yes. Well, I want to thank the three of you for joining us this morning. Susan Drumheller, Carol Curtis, and Daniel Schlafferman from Project 7B.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
If you just tuned in and you missed any or part of the show, you'll be able to listen to it as a podcast later on. And as always, every week, if you're out of town, you can go to KRFY.org and listen to our live stream.
That's right. We'll take a short, well, a medium-sized song break, and then Phil and I will be back to talk about coming radio events and upcoming city calendar events. To be fair to everyone in the music world, we're moving on to the Pretenders. We're moving away from Vegetables and on. And you all might have recognized that song. That was the Pretenders with My City Was Gone. You are here in our city, Sandpoint, at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio from North Idaho. This is Julie Calamine, and I'm joined by my co-host Phil Huff on the Tuesday morning show. We thought we were finished with our guests, but we've got one more update from Susan Drumheller. Susan, share with us.
Yeah, well, I am also involved with the Friends of the Pondere Bay Trail. And we are co-hosting with the city of Pondere Neighbor Day coming up in a couple weeks, Saturday, September 29th, from 1 to 6 p.m. And this is going to be at the Harbison Field, which is behind the Hoot Owl restaurant.
Who knew there was a behind the Hoot Owl?
Yeah.
There is, though.
Yeah, well, there's a big field there that the city purchased a couple years ago. And the reason, and we did this last year, too. So you might recall, we brought in a hot air balloon, and the hot air balloon didn't really get off the ground very far. So we don't have a hot air balloon this year because we discovered that it's very expensive and very unpredictable.
The weather, I imagine.
Yeah, so, yes. I mean, we were really hoping. So one reason we did this with the city of Pondere last year is we wanted to get people up in a hot air balloon so they could look over the trees and over the railroad track on the Harbison Field and see the lake and see the potential to connect the city of Pondere to the lake with a connection from the Pondere Bay Trail to the city of Pondere. So we did that last year. This year, it was such a popular event. It was so much fun. We have live music. We've got food vendors, we've got craft and produce vendors, we've got all kinds of fun things for kids to do, pony rides, a petting zoo, there's a climbing wall, live music. I think Maya Kohal Band is going to play. We've got a beer garden. The fire department will be there. Last year they did demonstrations with the Jaws of Life. And I mean, there's just like all kinds of interesting, fun things going on. And the city will be also sharing information about the Field of Dreams project and getting input from people for that. And people who participate in providing input will be entered into a free raffle. And the raffle drawings are awesome. It's like a weekend at Quinn's Hot Springs, a ride on the Newport train, fall train ride, and Yeti cooler. I mean, there's some really cool stuff. And the whole event, The event is free. I mean, if you want to buy food or beer, that stuff costs money, but there's like all kinds of free activities for kids, you know, building bird houses, other fun things. So it's just a really fun event.
And it's not just for the neighborhood of Ponderay. It's for anyone who's a broader neighbor. You can be from anywhere.
Yeah, we call it celebrating our connections because, you know, part of it is to share information about the trail projects, and that connects us to our other communities, you know, Sandpoint and Kootenai. And so we've invited everybody, you know, from around this greater Sandpoint, Ponderay area.
And one more time, what's the time for the event?
1 to 6 p.m., Saturday, September 29th, and it's on the Harbison Field behind the Hoot Owl, and there's parking off of Emerald Industrial Drive.
Very good. Phil, she could have stopped at Yeti Cooler, and I'd have been there.
Oh, yeah. You know, by the way, you fly fishing people, North 40 will be there, and I think they might be doing fly tying or something related to fishing.
Oh, yeah. Two reasons.
Food and beer.
We'll have to get there.
Hey.
Well, Susan Drumheller, thank you for sharing that information with us.
Sure. Hope to see you there.
Look yes, forward I think to it. I'll be there.
Thanks for staying.
Thanks.
All right. Well, Phil, we have a bit more work to do before our morning show is over.
What's coming up? The morning show's later this week.
Yes. Well, tomorrow I hope you'll join Susie Prez and Jean Girth. I believe it's week 4 of a special series they've been doing, Water is Life. It might be week 3, but I believe it's week 4.
No, I think this is week 4, and then they launch into the election series.
Yes, Election Central. Their guests tomorrow will be Diane Williams from Tri-State Water Quality Council and Shannon Williamson with the Ponderay Waterkeeper. That'll be tomorrow, Wednesday at 8 a.m. And then Thursday, the 20th, I hope that you would join Jack Peterson and Jim Healy. And their guest will be Marcy Timblin from the East Bonner County Library with updates. That's at 8 a.m.
That's exciting. Well, who do we have next week on our show?
Next week, we're joined by the Ponderay Peddlers and Everything Bicycle. So that should be fun.
Yeah, they have an event coming up also, don't they? They
do.
The Crosstoberfest coming
up
soon?
They do. We'll be talking about that at length.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, let's move on. Well, let's do move on to community events. What's happening on our community calendar?
There's just all kinds of things going on. Something that's near and dear to a lot of people as our gardens wind down and we start worrying about the first frost is what do we do to get ready for next year? And
what do we do?
The Bonner County Gardeners have the answers, or some of them anyway. On the 19th, that's Wednesday, they start their horticulture series, Soil Preparation and Testing. So the Bonner County Gardeners Association is going to host this workshop with Gray Henderson is part of the Fall Home Horticulture Workshop Series.
And Gray is a retired soil science, soil professor,
he
so
is.
He knows the answers.
He's going to talk what to do to ensure that your soil is in optimal condition for next spring, 6 to 9 p.m. at the Ponderay Event Center. One more reason to go out to Ponderay coming up soon. That's Bonner Mall Way. It's got a small fee, and you can find out more at bcgardeners.org.
Very good.
Then, of course, this Saturday, we've got the Farmer's Market. It's winding down, but there's still a few more dates to go. Wednesday, the Farmer's Market's from 3 to 5:30, and then Saturday from 9 to 1.
And our young Project 7B students will be there.
They will be. So excellent reason to come out this fall, get a little fall harvest.
Next Saturday.
This fall, get a little fall harvest and harvest some comments.
Did I get the wrong Saturday, Susan?
No, it's just like Saturday. They'll be at the Farmer's Market on Saturday. Not Wednesday.
Ah, yes, of course.
And the 20th, Thursday, is Souptember. I think this is the second or third annual. Sponsored by the Sandpoint Community Resource Center. 5 p.m., Farm and Park, 13 restaurants participating, plus live music, games, lots of fun. You get a little small bowl, and you get to taste lots of good soup.
Yum.
And as I understand it, the various cooks, chefs that are doing their creations take a great deal of pride in this. It's a competition.
Not to be missed.
Yeah. Then on the 21st, coming up this weekend, maybe after your listening session, go to the Ponderay Arts Council. They're hosting a plein air journey. This is an exhibit through the eyes and brushes of 5 artists exploring the area just beyond Sandpoint. It's from 5:30 to 7 p.m. in the Columbia Bank Building. Free and open to the public. You can get more information at Art in Sandpoint.
That sounds like the way to think about plein air this Saturday with the rain.
Yeah, I love plein air. They mostly do landscapes. You don't see too many plein air action shots of people fishing.
No, not really. Not too many.
But there are some artists, you know, I am partial to some, and I don't know if they're in this particular show, who do try to capture the essence of that scene.
They do.
Plein air is certainly a style of painting that's been adopted by many of our local areas, fine artists, and this would be a great opportunity to explore that farther.
Yes.
Other things coming up this weekend, we've got the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo. On the 22nd and 23rd, the community is invited to attend the two-day Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo from 9 to 5, Saturday and Sunday at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. For more information, you can go to inwprepexpo.com.
One might learn a lot.
I think they cover a lot of topics. You know, this is something that we hear a lot about, but and we think about it when we have times of crisis like the hurricanes moving through last week. Are we prepared for the event of a power outage or flooding? And there's a lot to learn about that. It's important just to sit down and think about it, and if you can go in the company of others and have that dialogue.
Yes, and you haven't even mentioned fire, Phil.
Fire.
That's a possibility.
Fire is winding down, but fire is one of the natural disasters we potentially face here. There's all kinds of reasons that you need to be, you know, ready for, withstanding long periods of time or simple evacuation plans.
So true. We have time for a couple more, Phil.
Well, we've got the annual Oktoberfest celebration in Hope on the 22nd at the Memorial Community Center, 415 Wellington Place. Devin Wade will be playing music. Folks can count on delicious brats and all the fixings, as well as a great time with friends and neighbors. You can find out more at memorialcommunitycenter.com. And since we did talk about it earlier, we should perhaps recap that we do have these listening sessions coming up. It's your opportunity to participate. People who participate get heard, and people who get heard determine the future of our county. You can find out more by going to listeningtobonnercounty.org, but these events start this Thursday at the Monarch Road Senior Center in Sagal. They continue on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at locations including Clark Fork, Sandpoint, Blanchard, and Priest Lake. Again, more details are available at listeningtobonnercounty.org.
Not to be missed if you care about the future of the county. Well, with that, we are going out with a song, another planning-related song. We'll hear Greg Brown with Boomtown, and have a great week, listeners.
See you next week.